Y'all turn to John chapter 3. I better quit talking and get busy here. John chapter 3. Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, they must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said, How can these things be? And Jesus said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, and that his cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that are wrought in God. Let's pray just a minute. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for these good people. I pray, God, your Spirit would have free course in this service this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you see these missionaries come through here, and they've all given their lives, left their work, left their families, and followed where the Spirit of God leads. And a lot of times that's into places where you'd rather not go. Now, for somebody who's worked on the equator for 28 years, I have no desire at all to go to Greenland where it's so cold. Amen. Usually I see these mission presentations and God stirs my heart and I want to go. Amen. I was writing a little email to Brother Jim Griggers in Austria. I don't know if y'all know Brother Griggers or not. Been there about, I don't know, 35, 40 years or so. And I said, Brother, I said, we were talking about the ministry, and I said, America is convenient, but very boring. And I told him, I said, Brother Jim, I said, believe it or not, I miss that heat in the tropics. You know, I get warm, and the older you get, your blood doesn't circulate very well, and you take blood thinner, and you get colder. So I get warm about 86 degrees, and I miss that sweltering heat. But most of all, I miss going up those rivers in that swamp, and you go around the next bend, and there's a village that you've never been to. And the excitement there is in seeing people, and they're waving at you, and come on in. Listen, they don't care what you're selling, what you're giving away. They're just happy to see somebody. I'm talking about somebody in the middle of nowhere. There's no store, there's no school, there's no anything, and you show up, and you want to sit down with them and talk to them about some things, they are wide open to the gospel. I miss that. I really do. The thing about these missionaries as they go, and as our passage here was, is how is your message perceived? You preach the message, and you preach it with a Western thought and a Western mind, but the folks listening to you, a lot of times, they don't think the way you do. It's just a little bit different. Now, we have a fellow here, Nicodemus, in this passage of Scripture. Nicodemus is mentioned three times in Scripture. The first time is here, and then the second time he's standing up in the Sanhedrin and kind of defending Christ and his work and the disciples. And then the last time he comes and helps prepare the body of Jesus in John chapter 19, prepare his body for burial. And, you know, they talk about him coming at night. Who knows? Maybe it was just convenient. Maybe it was custom. Maybe he was afraid of his position. You know, a lot of times the problem the missionary faces is your greatest obstacle, and I'll say this about Greenland, though I've never been there, your greatest obstacle is not the traditional religion. They'll listen to you. It is organized religion that's your enemy. They will fight you tooth and nail. But the thing about it is, when you talk to somebody, let's say a Catholic or whatever, there's an element of pride that enters in this thing. Because he believes something that isn't true, and when you present the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God starts to convict that man that what he's hearing is the truth. All right? The next obvious step is, if it's the truth, why don't you bow the knee, repent, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And 9 times out of 10, if he does that, he will lose his position. Yeah. Not only that, worse than that, he has to say, I was wrong. Right. It's like somebody being a charismatic and you prove to them that the tongues is not for today. The biggest obstacle that they face is the fact that they have to admit that they were wrong. And it becomes a problem. So we have Nicodemus here, and he's a Pharisee. He's a man that has position. The obvious reason we go is because of we're commanded to go. We've already talked about that. The brother mentioned it in his presentation, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. But the biggest thing in missions for me is the need. The fact that we need to go is obvious, or we're commanded to go, that's obvious. But the thing that speaks to my heart is the need. Yeah. What is the need? Did you know there are 41,000 religions that are registered in America? I mean, you don't even put their name on a list. That doesn't include 37 flavors of Baptist. That's just different religions. 41,000 different religions. That's a lot. Yeah. But you can take that whole list and you can divide them into two. If you want the short list, is those who believe in salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. Amen. Amen. That list will be about that long. You want the long list, it's those who, man, they carry a Bible. A lot of them will tell you that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. But then they add something to that. They make it faith plus something.
Right.
And you can line them up, and it doesn't matter what their belief is, doesn't matter what ism or asm, it doesn't make any difference. There is only two. And when you come preaching the truth, a lot of times that truth is not accepted. But the need is so great. It's so great. Let's think about Nicodemus and Jesus for a minute. Jesus is talking to him. And I teach a lot about culture. And these guys had the same language. They grew up in the same religion. They were from the same country. And when Jesus said, "Ye must be born again," Nicodemus didn't understand.
Right.
You see, as Jesus gave that message, Nicodemus is going through his head, and there are seven different things that are said about being born again at the time of Jesus. Yeah, he's going through this thing. If you're a Gentile proselyte has to get in the water, and he takes sand and rubs himself and tries to rub off this old nature. And then he self-baptizes. He goes under the water and comes back out again. And it's said in, then the Jews say, well, he's been born again. So that's one. All right. Then when a Jew gets married, he's said to be born again. Okay. Well, Nicodemus, he wasn't a proselyte and he's already married, so he's good there. When they become a teacher in a theological academy, they're said to be born again. But he was a great teacher, so he can mark that one off. When a person is crowned king, he's said to be born again. Well, Nicodemus can mark that one off because he's not going to be king of anything. When a slave is set free, he's said to be born again. So Nicodemus is saying, hey, I'm not a slave. That doesn't apply to me. That's number six. And then one is physically born in the line of Abraham, he's said to be born again. Now, that's where the problem came, because as Jesus is preaching this thing, he's going through here in Nicodemus' mind. He's hearing the message. He's hearing, you must be born again. He's going through this checklist, and all these seven things, I'm okay, because number seven, I was born of the seed of Abraham. Amen. That's what he's talking about here. Born of the seed of Abraham. I've been part of the Jewish religion. I've done everything that I need to do. When you talk to people, even in America, you've got the same language. You've got the same culture. You've been brought up just about the same if you're in your local area. Everybody knows everybody in Ardmore, Tennessee or Alabama, which side of the line you live on. So when you talk to these people, you know what they think and where they're coming from. Okay, y'all with me so far? We're good. Well, you take that and the fact that 96% of the preachers in the world are in America, and most people under the age of 40 have never had a clear gospel witness. Is it a cultural thing? What I'm telling you is there's a need out there. And it doesn't do any good just to throw preachers at them. It doesn't do any good just to throw money at them. You need to go and tell them, compel them, to come in. That's our job as missionaries. We go, we sit down and we talk to all kinds of people. Bible says preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm telling you, there's some creatures out there. There's some wild folks in this world. But the thing about it is, they believe what they believe just as strongly as you do. And so before you go, you need to settle some things in your mind. And the first one is how to be born again. You see, the popular message is we're all the same. I have people, we're building our house, and I have people come by, and these village elders from different places, and they're coming, and I say, yeah, come on in, look what we're doing here, and I show them around a little bit, and they'll click their teeth and talk about what a wonderful house it is, and we're glad you're here, missionary. We're glad you're here. One God, one Bible, it's all the same. One heaven, we're all going to the same place. You know, when somebody tells me that, immediately what comes to my mind is they don't have a clue what their church teaches. They don't know anything about it. And so when you have to talk to these people and deal with these people, they're not going to like your message because you're not there to be one of them. Now, missionaries, it's easy to go in and join the crowd. And you will be expected, if there's other churches, it doesn't make any difference what denomination it is, you'll be expected to be politically correct and one of the brethren. You will. We got to New Guinea and we were there, I don't know, about a week, and the government sent me a deportation notice. That was really good. Not only did I not have the right visa, but I, you know, they said you have to leave the country in 7 days, man. And I had the money to leave the country in 7 days. It didn't make any difference. But They came to my wife and they said, would you teach in the international school, teach religious instruction? And these people in other countries, they're not quite as heathen as America. They require 1 hour a week of religious instruction in their public schools. And so she had this class of international students. These were the children of businessmen, plantation owners, and coffee plantations and all that. The educated and the elite in the most of it, the European community. So she went in there. She was teaching RI class, and she taught a class on hell. Yeah. Just using Bible verses and a little bit of flannograph, a little bit of pictures. Next thing I know, they're knocking on our door, and they say, hey, listen, you can't do that anymore. You're scaring our kids to death. I said, we don't care if you talk about Jesus, how good he is. And you can teach the Beatitudes all day long, but don't be talking. Don't be scaring our kids about hell. They don't want the message. Right. They want a nice, fluffy little message. Right. Then they came to me and they said, listen, we're having a meeting up here, and this is all the community leaders in Mount Hagen. I was just there temporarily because I was going to the bush. And they said, we want you to speak and tell them how God called you to New Guinea. And I said, I don't think so. And he said, well, it's just a group of brethren. He said, well, he said, we got the priest there and we got Church of Christ there. And he started naming all these people. And I was trying to be polite. And I said, I appreciate the invitation, but no, thank you. And then he got a little bit more pushy. And he said, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And so I said, well, sir, they may be your brethren, but they're not my brethren. Y'all with me this morning? It is not missionary, we love you, come on in. It's missionary, go home. You better just mark her down. A lot of times, because of the religious flavor in the community, you are not going to be accepted. So these folks that are going, they are soldiers, for lack of a better term, because they are going into war. It's a spiritual warfare. And if you want to see somebody who plays, you think the Democrats play dirty, man, you just get around the religious crowd. I'm telling you, they were, oh my. They must have a class on it. I don't know, but anyway. We're talking about old Nicodemus here. Nicodemus is hearing those things, and his problem was that he believed. If you flip over here to John chapter 8, about verse 33, he believed he was good. No problem. I think it's 8:33. Yeah, 8:33, and Bible says. Let's look at 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, hey, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Why are you talking to me, man? I'm already a Jew. I'm part of Abraham's line. So those things were going through the mind of Nicodemus while Jesus was giving him this conversational sermon. And he's talking to him. He's thinking, okay, this is your message? Man, no problem. No problem. Nicodemus thought Jesus was a prophet. He says it here in verse 2. He said, same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man knoweth can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he's looking at him. He's recognizing that he has a touch of God on him, but he doesn't recognize him as the Messiah. He thinks he's one who's come to announce the Messiah. So he's confused in his thinking. A lot of times when you deal with people on the mission field, they will do things. They will make professions of faith, or they will come wanting to join you. But this is not a heartfelt thing. Their thinking is, and again, you don't just learn the customs. You learn why they do what they do. What is the thought process? How did they get there to make this decision? Because if you don't do that, man, they'll snow you every time. And in New Guinea, their thinking is, okay, this man wants me to say I'm a sinner. Okay, I'm a sinner. That's okay. This man wants me to pray a prayer. Man, I'll do that too. But their thinking is, if I do that, what's this white man going to give me? Y'all with me this morning? There's no repentance. There's no Holy Ghost conviction in this thing. There's just somebody who says some words simply to get something. I always tell my boys, they come back and they say, well, we went to the market today, had four receive Christ. I said, we'll find out. Services are tomorrow. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. You just don't take it at face value. You have to know, how do they perceive what you're telling them? What's the fruit of it? Now, you know, I can't look at you and know you're saved. I just can't do that. But there are some signs in a person's life when they get saved.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Brother read the verse about joy. Man, you want joy? Just get saved. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, there's a peace that passeth all understanding.
Amen.
And that those sins are forgiven. Man, God looks at you as righteous. You're a son of God. I'm telling you, it don't get no better than that.
Amen.
And that the Holy Ghost is inside of you, and that gives you that joy. That's where that peace and joy comes from when you first get saved. So I can look at you, and I don't know if you're saved or not. I can't judge you. I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Ghost of God. But when I come in this church and I see Brother Monty out there passing out these bulletins, and his wife's there with him, and I see some folks that I know down here, and there's a glow and a shine on your face, and you're happy to be here, I'm telling you, you can tell when somebody is born again or not. Amen.
Amen.
On the other hand, when I see you and all you do is, how are you, brother? Glad to see you. Amen. Can't judge you, but I'm concerned. Amen. You just don't know how the message is going to be received. But how many people do you know that are religious and lost?
Right.
I mean, in America, the point I was getting to a while ago is you need to understand what it is you believe about salvation. Now, the question is, with God, is close enough? Nicodemus knew the scriptures. Nicodemus was faithful to services. Nicodemus paid his alms and gave to the temple. Nicodemus helped people that were in trouble. Nicodemus had position. But Nicodemus was lost. I wonder how many people in the Baptist church today.
Oh my.
Yeah. Know their Bible? Give their money? Come to services? But they've never had that experience of being born again. Was it Carl Lackey used to preach that message about, and he was talking about Baptists with no father.
Yeah.
Y'all with me this morning? Listen, I'm not here to whip you. I'm here to tell you, sometimes the message is heard, but the message is not received the way it's given.
Right.
You'll know because the Spirit will move. Nicodemus didn't understand that. Jesus gave the illustration. He said, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That spiritual birth, you can't see it. You don't have a sign on your chest that says born again.
Right.
But you can see where the Spirit has moved. You can see the change that come up. The attitudes that are changed. Those desires start to change. And instead of being hesitant about coming to church and the family of God, man, you're excited about reading the Word of God and excited about, man, telling somebody about Jesus. Somebody sent me a 50th class reunion notice the other day. And I started thinking about my younger years. And I got to tell you, there's nothing to be excited about. When I look back on those years and think of all the years I've wasted, I got saved when I was 28 years old. Think of all the years I've wasted and what I could have done, how I could have been used of God or been faithful to the church or how much better my life would be. You see, I have this problem. I very rarely forget anything. You say, well, that's good. Well, it's good when you remember the good stuff, but it's bad when you remember the rest. Amen. All the dumb things you did. Yeah, amen. I was telling somebody, I cut class so many times, they called me into the office and they said, if you cut one more class, you're out of here. This is my senior year in high school. You're gone. That's like waving a red flag in front of a bull, man. I left the office, said, thank you very much. Got a couple of my buddies, got in my car, and gone. Amen. Well, while I was gone, somebody pulled a fire alarm. We got back just in time for the next class. And I thought, man, what's everybody standing on the street for? The whole school, 500 people were out standing on the street. I said, what's going on? He said, somebody pulled a fire alarm. I said, well, that's a terrible thing. Shouldn't have done that. Well, they blame me for it. I couldn't tell them I didn't do it because I wasn't there. Y'all with me this morning? I know. You thought all of us missionaries were spiritual people. We really were not. But sometimes you get yourself in trouble. I don't know where I was going with that illustration, but nevertheless, the problem that we face is the fact that on the mission field, sometimes your message is not received the way it should be. The problem that we have in our life, Nicodemus had this problem. He sat there and listened to that. Now, it's believed that Nicodemus got saved. There's evidence of that because he did claim Jesus' body. He did stand up for the Jews or for the Christians in the Sanhedrin. He did stand up for them and speak for them. But the fact of the matter is, because he got Jesus' body and prepared that body for burial or helped prepare it for burial, that was too little, too late. Think about Nicodemus now. He was a man of position. People looked up to him. People looked at him as a scriptural scholar. And how much influence could he have had he stood up for Jesus at the third chapter of John? Right. Chapter 19 was too little, too late. This man spent his whole life just arguing about the law. Talking about all the little things. And I'm sure he was a good man. But nevertheless, if he had made that decision in John chapter 3, how much more could God have done with his life if he'd have done that?
Right.
In mission work, if you've listened to these brethren as they present their ministries, the thing that echoes over and over and over again is the need. Is the need. And I said somewhere, I made a couple of people mad, but that's okay. We appreciate Bibles and we appreciate all the things that people do to help the missionaries. But our greatest need isn't Bibles. Our greatest need is warm, breathing, living bodies who will carry the message of Jesus Christ to the places that nobody else wants to go. We don't need you in New York City. We need you on the other side of Greenland. We don't need you somewhere where you've got 24-hour internet and a cell phone. We need you someplace where you have to walk the trails and climb the mountains, cross the rivers and do these things. Go reach the people that nobody else will reach. There are countries all over this world without one single gospel witness anywhere. And we sit in this church as a bunch of Nicodemuses and men with, yes, sir, I believe it. Yes, sir, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But you never get it done. We dream and we think and we plan and we plot. But we don't get the job done. Nicodemus, master of Israel. Jesus presents this wonderful verse and statement in verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What are we doing here this morning? We're trying to help fulfill the purpose of God. The Bible says in I think 2 Peter 3, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So as we give and we go and we serve, you are helping fulfill the purpose of Almighty God. God calls, God sends, God blesses you to give, to help go. Amen. And this is God's purpose. This is God's will. It is not the Baptist will. It is not these missionaries have dreamed this thing up. This is the purpose of God, and this is the reason for the existence of the church, to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And all God asks of you is to become a part of it. Do what you can. If you can't go, you can give. If you can't give, you can pray. But there is something in your life, there is something that you can do to be a help and a blessing to this, these missionaries, to this church. And you can be a blessing to Almighty God because you're doing what he would have you to do.
Right.
Say, preacher, I don't like that. I don't care. Doesn't make any difference. That's what we're here for. These people give their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. These missionaries have put their families and their position and their retirement. They've put everything that they own on the line. They are now really families without a country, because they'll go to this other country and they really won't fit there. But when they come back here, they don't fit here either. I appreciate Brother Stinson's coming back, but I'm telling you, when you get back to the mission field, when you've been there for so long, it's hard to get back into the American culture. First of all, it's about 20 years ahead of you. I mean, I'm telling you, the American culture changes so fast, and it's going the wrong direction. It's going downhill. It has been there forever. And when we come back, we are absolutely amazed sometimes at the fashions we see and the language people use, and to see the slackness in the church. My soul, you want joy in your ministry? You get to a place where people will come to the altar and cry real tears because they're heartbroken over something in their life. Or they cry real tears because their relatives don't have a gospel witness over the next mountain. And where people will not only just give their money, but they'll give you the most precious thing in their life, and they'll come and they'll put it on the altar, say, I want to give this for God. We took up a collection one time, and it wasn't for a spiritual thing. They had a big fire that consumed a whole mountain in half the Chimbu province. One of our missionaries said, hey, I'm trying to help these people get some clothes. And I was down in the swamp where, man, people, they have nothing. And I said, okay, brother, I'll ask. And I said, if you got anything you want to give. Now, listen, New Guineans generally have two sets of clothes. They have one set to work in, and they have one set they wear to church if they go to church. And they were bringing that good set of clothes and putting it in that box to send to somebody else. We take up an offering and every one of my churches, there's 28 churches in New Guinea, and every single one of them support missions. Every single one. They have a march for missions every Sunday night, and they'll come up and they'll put their little coins. We have a plastic bottle. I think we got that from here one time. Y'all had a collection where the kids put money in the bottle. But at any rate, they walk up there and they put that money in there. And that money goes to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not their tithe. Now listen, I'm talking about people who do not have any employment at all. America complains because the employment rate has reached 4%. Man, let's all pull our hair out. In New Guinea, it's 85% are subsistence farmers. The only money they have, if the ladies go up there to the market and they sit there and they pile up their little sweet potatoes, well, they sell some greens. Sometimes they'll sell a stalk of sugar cane. And they'll bring their tithe and they'll bring their money and they'll put their tithe in one plate and their mission money in the bottle. I had a lady come one time. We were taking up an offering and she brought a half of a quina shell. Half of one, not even a whole one, a half of one. And that's what she got. That was her bride price. Or that's what they gave her. Her family got pigs and they got quina shells and they got some money, but what they gave her was half of a quina shell. That was the most precious thing that she had other than her children. And we took up an offering and that lady brought that little quina shell up there. It had a string on it because in their special times, their special days, they'll wear it as a necklace. And she laid that quina shell down in that offering plate as her gift to God. Not the worst thing she had, but the best. Say, preacher, do you miss New Guinea? You bet I do. I miss sincere hearts. I miss sacrifice on a level that Americans just would not believe. I've seen pastors at a Faith Promise Missions Conference. I've seen pastors, and I was preaching about giving and praying about giving. He said, hey, preacher. And I said, what? He said, I want to give it all. And I said, brother, I said, you get $10 a month from your church. He said, I know, I want to give it all. I said, brother, are you sure you understand? And I started to go through. He said, preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. But he said, preacher, he said, I've got shoes. I never had shoes before. God has blessed me. He said, I've got clothes. I've got soap. I've got a garden. And he said, I appreciate what the church gives to me. And I give it, but I want to give it back to God. That some other people on this island who do not have the gospel of Christ can be reached. I said, brother, that's all you've got. He said, no, brother. He said, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Do I miss it? Yes, sir. I miss that attitude where they push religion to the side. And it's more important to do something for God than it is to do something to esteem yourself. I miss that. I miss the ladies praying all night in a prayer meeting. I miss the men. I thought, men, how's this going to fly? And they come to me and they said, I told my wife, she said, I'm going to have an all-night prayer meeting. I said, okay. And she said, we're going to have a foot washing. I said, whatever you want to do. And those ladies had that foot washing. I said, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. And they prayed all night. Y'all with me this morning? I'm not talking about surface religion. Skin Christians, we call them. I'm talking about when it gets way down deep inside. I miss my preacher boys. who will walk for miles to give the gospel. Nicodemus's problem, A, he was lost, and B, when he got saved, he kept his mouth shut. Y'all with me this morning? Now he's old, and he comes and he takes the body of Jesus and helps prepare it. What could he have done in the intervening 3 years? How much influence could he have had? And that brings us back to today. I know my time's finished, but what about you? What about you? We're going to send these missionaries out. And we expect them to do something for God. What about you? What is your obligation right here in your country? You say, well, preacher, I'm going to give the faith promise. There are people in here, A, there are people in here that are lost, who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're religious, they read the Bible, they give their money, but they have never had that experience of being born again. There are people in here that God has called. I mean, he has put his hand on your heart, and I have felt the squeeze, man. It's not that angina that I suffer all the time, but I'm talking about the squeeze of the call of God. And he's come to your house. And like Nicodemus, you say, I believe. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do that. But we don't ever get anywhere. Because it's all on top. You must be born again. You know, the greatest thing that a missionary needs, he needs the call of God. He needs that touch of the Holy Ghost of God in his life. He needs that spiritual leading. Because there's a lot of times when you go out to a place and I'm telling you, you've got everything marked, you've got everything down. I mean, you are ready to go, you are fired up, and you go there and nothing happens. Then you go somewhere else and you think, well, okay, let's do this. So you go and preach there, and I'm telling you, God starts to work in hearts. We must have that leading of the Spirit of God in our life. If you're going to give the faith promise, you need to get a hold of God, and you need to seek the will of God, and when he steers you to the amount you need to give it. Amen. Easiest way to do that, you gave last year, see what you gave, give a little more. Amen. That'll work. That'll work. But in your life, brethren, in your life, you need to get a hold of God. In your youth, say, God, what can I do for you? God, lead me, use me. I don't want to be religious. I don't just want to come to church. I don't just want this mission conference just to be another meeting and another offering and another presentation. God, I want it to be something real in my life. God, speak to me today. God, what can I do? What can I give? Where can I go? You know why we don't ask? Because we are afraid of the answer. Y'all with me this morning? We are, brethren, I believe with all my heart we're in the last days. I believe that. As the preacher said last night, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but my soul, it can't get any worse. I don't think. We are in the last days. If you're going to do something for God, it ought not be tomorrow. It ought be today. 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 Brother Ralph said he had 4 people called to missions out of his church. Glory to God. He's got 10 preachers out of his church. Glory to God. We are not in competition with Cornerstone Baptist Church. We are in this thing together. Let me give this to you and I'll quit. If every independent Baptist church, every one of them, if they would all be working to get the gospel out in missions, locally. Y'all with me so far? I think I lost you right now. Missions you're all for, but locally you're not for. If we would stop fighting among ourselves. Amen. And just be about our Father's business. How much of the world could we reach? Do you know there are places north in northern Michigan that have no, not only Baptist churches, they have no church at all? Yeah, amen. Out west too. Yes, sir. You can drive 8,500 miles and won't be any church. Listen, brother, I speak this to your shame. God has given us the book. Glory to God. I believe the King James Bible just as much as you do. And that's a wonderful issue, and we take it, but that is not the only issue. The issue is the world and reaching that world, and not just, brother, I appreciate it on top. Yes, I'm for it. It is what can you do in your life right now? Today, for the cause of Christ. Many of you got it spoken to a long time ago, and you put it off and put it off and put it off. You've got it shoved so far back in your mind, you hardly ever think of it anymore. And when you do, it gives you heartburn. Because God has called, and you have not answered. God has burdened you to give, and you have not given. Brethren, let's not be those that have a belated service for Christ as Nicodemus. Let's be givers. Let's be goers. Let's be a Barnabas. Let's be a Paul. And let's do something that counts. These missionaries are giving their lives to the cause of Christ. Can they expect any less from us? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. God, these are good, patient people. I appreciate all the time they spent here today.